Welcome to Sunday Life, a radio and podcast program of Life Church in Boston. You can find us on the web at lifechurchboston.org. God's Word is taking off from where you are right now and rising to build you up on the way to your destiny. Let's climb on board.
Amen, amen, amen. I'm back. Praise be to God. I am so grateful and privileged again. I'm getting little comments. That's why I'm laughing. People say it looks like a test. Other folks came in. Oh, I didn't do my homework. I was like, ooh. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, I got lots of things planned for y'all. No, it won't be too bad. It won't be too bad. But praise the Lord. I thank God for the prayers that's already gone forth. I'm just going to pray briefly that I decrease and the Lord increase today. So, Heavenly Father, we exalt you. We praise you. It is a delight, oh Lord, to have your presence here in our lives and in this fellowship. And I just pray again, Lord, that you will speak through me and use me however you desire, oh God, to help us to better understand who you are and what you desire from your people. It's a wonderful walk with you and a wonderful journey with you when we really understand who you are and how much you love us. So I thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Don't hide from me, but I am going to ask, did anyone do their homework last week? And some of you are like, I wasn't here last week, so. What would you do if you went to school the next week? Well, I wasn't there last week, so I don't know. Why should I have my homework? No, just kidding. So anybody, would you like to, just briefly, for those who weren't here last week, we're coming out of Matthew 5, 13 through 16, and we were talking about verse 13 in particular, we as followers of Christ being the salt of the earth. And some of the questions that I asked you to go home and think about were, how are you salt in your community and in the lives that you interact with? And just think of some of those examples. And I wanted someone to be courageous to share a couple of things that they figured out or thought about during the week.
Okay, so I didn't do the homework as a sign, but it had been something that I had been thinking about and talking about with Al for a while.
All right. Is
what does it mean to have a positive influence in the relationships in your life? And to ask God to show you how to show his love to other people.
Amen.
So it was something I became very intentional about at my job about 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Really thinking about the people I see every day. I see these people every day. And somehow their contact with me should have some kind of impact.
Amen.
The better.
Amen.
And really praying about that. And there's some real relationships that I've developed at work. I call them my work family. So my thing is, if I left the office tomorrow, if I disappeared, would it matter that I was there?
Amen. Amen. You got an answer to that. All right. All right.
So it's my friend from work. So I began to see the impact on people. Mm-hmm. And just in how people interacted with me, and the types of things they would ask me, and the types of things they were looking for from me.
Mm-hmm.
So, and in my relationship with Al, one of the things we've begun to do is really reach out to people as a couple and try to touch the lives of couples around us. Some people, they're not married, but even just Al's always been the type of person, let's just hang out. That's just kind of how he connects with people. And even taking influence from the McIntoshes about the power of hospitality.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's one thing to go to a restaurant with a person. It's another thing to have them in your home.
Amen.
I always tell people I'm not the greatest cook, but I've been starting to show it. I've been really trying to get my cooking skills up because I want to invite people over. So.
Yay!
New ministry.
Yeah, we have Chef Karen over, and we have Kristen coming over Friday, and so it's definitely something that we keep in mind for.
Amen. Thank you for sharing that, and that's a very, very, very good kind of litmus test question, that Pastor Valerie mentioned. If I were not here, would it make a difference? Would it matter? And that's something we can definitely ask ourselves, as we contemplate, am I being the salt? How can I be the salt? How can I influence? How can I impact? So I think that's a wonderful question for all of us to kind of keep in mind. Brother Bill?
Yeah, one of the things that I began to think about too in this word, and discussing it also with Gail and others, was being the salt. I had to identify what that salt was so that I could see myself as being salt, understanding one that God was seeing me like that and how it was important for me to begin to see myself like that. Because if I didn't see myself like that, then I really couldn't take on the understanding. I really couldn't begin to even think about what that would look like, how I would be able to be effective in ways if I really never identified with wanting to be that self. So I think it was a thing of being able to identify and then looking and seeing the ways in which in my life I could actually have impact.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for that. It is important for us to see ourselves as God sees us. That is critical. All right. Oh, one more.
I told him not to call me, but there was one thing I was thinking about this week. It just came up. We had a good old father-daughter dance at school, which was an awesome event. But, the issue is that in the planning of that, it can be stressful. And, if I need anything, I just remember one of the parents was helping out. One of my gifts is sometimes humor, de-stressing things. I was just thinking about, Lord, this is one of the things the Lord has helped me with. But, the woman was working on this stuff. She just needed some humor to break the ice. Because sometimes it really can beat, it can wear on you. Mm-hmm. Physically, it can actually physically hurt you if you don't, stop taking things too seriously. And and also remember what's a priority. Because also you end up missing the joy of the night trying to trying to just get it done. And so one of the things that I think is helpful, especially trying to lead something, is I was that spirit. I mean, if I wasn't there, I think it would have been a little bit more stressful. And I think that's something that's important for us, is to help people remember the priority of things, but also just to, you know, hey, what's really important here, but how can we just have fun?
Amen, amen. Thank you for sharing that. And I think that's important as we enter into this week and we talk about the second part of what Jesus was talking about in terms of us being the light. your presence was very, very important in those surroundings to break the ice, but you had to do something. Just you being there didn't change the atmosphere that was in that room, but you actually doing something. And so that's kind of what we're going to talk about. Oh, I'm sorry.
I just want to confess that I didn't do anything.
Oh, shame on you.
But however, I did gather my information from the service and the reader.
Uh-huh.
And then I look at salt and itself, you know, the components. And I thought about, and then you mentioned to him in the Roman times how important and precious it was. Even people used to be paid in salt. It was a precious commodity.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I look at salt again, I figured, you know, it's kind of useless without it being combined with something.
That's right.
And then I draw an analogy in terms of a Christian. Let's say a Christian is, he's in the Word, and he knows the Word, and it's very important, and he's, and from a scholarly point of view, if he doesn't share that, in a sense, it'll be kind of like useless, just like all the spaceless with itself.
Right.
So I draw that kind of analogy, and I wanted to share that. So it is important in itself, but it has to be combined and used for its full body to be established.
Amen. You can come and stand right up here next to me. And no, that's awesome, because you're saying exactly what we're going to talk about today. It's useless when nothing's done with it. And, you know, God is amazing. You know, sometimes the words we use, they're just not enough to describe what you're trying to say. So he didn't stop and just say, you're salt. He gave another metaphor. He said, you're light. Because salt in and of itself, even that metaphor, it's a great metaphor and I love it. It wasn't enough to tell us the fullness of who we are and what we're, you know, what he's expecting from us. So he brought in another metaphor. He said, okay, you are the light of the world. And so it's kind of giving us a fuller picture of who we are. You know, that's why when you guys were talking last week, when you described who you are, you probably couldn't use just one word. You know, I'm a mother, I'm a Christian, you know, I'm a police officer, I'm from Georgia. I mean, there you had to bring in all of these descriptions to give that person the full view of who you are. And that's kind of what I loved about his whole use of metaphors here. He said, okay, we started off with salt. Let me give you another aspect of who you are. And so let's read that again. Let's just even read the salt part again. Matthew 5, 13 through 16. If someone could just stand and read those verses for us again.
You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your word. All right, so this was actually suggested last week, and I appreciate Brother Bill just saying, to me last week. You might want to go over just the little bits of salt that you talked about. You might want to say something again. So that's why I put there just a brief overview of last week to try to hit those highlights of what we talked about last week. We're not going to go over them, but I have them there for you so that you can kind of get a sense of some of the things that we talked about. And now we're going to go further and talk about the light. And what I want to do to understand what God is saying in verses 14 and 15 is I tried to break it up. I wanted to take it pretty much line by line and figure out, what are you saying, God? And so let's start with, you are the light of the world. What does that say to you? When you first read that, what kind of feelings or thoughts come over you? Anyone? I'm sorry. Good. Positive influence. Very good. Helping people to see. Spotlight. Flashlight. Anything else? Just quickly, what comes up in your head? Awesome responsibility. Power. Darkness. People look towards you. Reflection. Blindness, how bad it would be to be blind.
But also, you know, it's light of the world, and we've got 6-7 billion people. And so when you think about the ability to influence, I mean, nothing that's in the Bible is there by accident. So we're supposed to have that impact on 7 billion people.
There's a lot of impact or places to light. Very good. See, I can sit down now. See, that was the whole point of asking you, so I can go and sit down. Yes, and one of the things that, for me as well, with all the things that you've already said, is that think about, you know, when your teacher said, you are the star student of the day. You know, it just makes you feel good. God started off by just letting us know, you are the light of the world. And it in a good way, it kind of puffs us up a little bit. I'm special. I like that. I mean, we always think about trying to tell our kids that, trying to remind them that they're important. You know, they're an example. You're my model student. You know, you can take a student aside and you know, you're my model student. You know, I want you to be an example. I can just imagine God just kind of taking us aside and saying, you're the light of the world. You are so important in terms of people looking at you. I heard positive influence. You know, you being able to be seen and to be modeled after. What an awesome responsibility that is. And so he starts off giving us the ultimate compliment. You know, you're important. You're important. You're very special. And I kind of put it, you know, as we think about light and what it does and what it means, I kind of put it as the triple E's. Things like that help me to remember things. I try to put things like use the same letter for things because it helps me to remember. And for light, the three E's that I came up with, in terms of its purpose, is to expose, to enlighten, and to escort. And three is a great number. So when we think about expose, I heard a couple of you say that you can't really understand light unless you realize there is darkness. That light is actually contrast to something else. And God tells us that we are in a world of darkness. And so as light, what does light do? It exposes, I said, of and expose to. When I mean expose of the darkness, when you put a light in a dark room, it gets rid of the darkness. You are now able to see. And when you think about expose to, it's kind of like introducing or revealing. When you're exposing something to, you're actually revealing something. And part of our purpose is to reveal the truth of who he is. So I actually had two components of exposure. And then with enlighten means to make something more clear. You can see, you may be able to see something, but you may not necessarily understand it. And so another aspect of light is to actually to see clearly what it is and understand what it's doing. And then I thought about escort, because one of my favorite scriptures, and there are a lot of gospel songs out there that we used to sing out of the scripture Ephesians 5:13. It's not on your sheet, but not that scripture. Okay, it's the Psalm scripture. Yes, the Psalm scripture, 119:105. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. And I used to always wonder, why would he put a lamp on the feet? I kind of got the light on the path thing because I thought about, okay, highways, you have lights lining the highway. It kind of shows you the direction where you should be going and what boundaries you should be going within. But I never could understand the lamp to the feet, because I just tried to imagine some lamps tied to my feet. And what does that mean? And I thought about it is, you know, when we're traveling down that path, you know, sometimes we don't know where to step. You know, there's some hidden things that maybe, you know, there's something right there you shouldn't step in. You need to kind of sidestep it and go a little to the left or a little to the right. And it kind of made sense to me that, you know, the light of the Lord helps me to know, even when I'm moving, where I'm stepping along the way. I was like, okay, that makes sense for me. And so that's one of the things, that's why it came to me as an escort. You know, I feel like I have the light of the Lord traveling with me along the way, guiding me. And so God tells us first that he's the light. He's the original light. And we're going to go to that scripture in just a minute. But then he has given that light to us. And so being that light, that exposure and enlightening, is all about allowing folks to see him and to see who he is. And, of course, I did more research again. Yeah, I know. I love doing research. I try not to be too scientific this time. I said I'm going to try to be a little bit more practical, because I'd really like to know how can I be light, or have us discuss that a little bit more this time. But I was talking to Michael in the car, and I was like, it's really amazing, because when you research how the eye works, you can't see unless there's light. It's absolutely amazing that, you know, if we didn't have light hitting our eyes, we would be blind. We would be see. We would be in total darkness. And what does darkness mean? We can't see where we're going. We don't know what's going on. We're confused. We don't understand the implications of what's around us. There are a lot of implications of darkness and importance of to see. So that's why we are. We're the light of the world. That's our whole purpose. God makes it clear. And then he goes into a town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. What does that say to you? What did you think about in reading that line? It's supposed to be bold. Okay. Not hiding. Can't be isolated. Okay. I'm sorry, say that once more. They had candles. The light would go out, right? If you cover something up, such as a flame, it could go out. That's right. Exactly. Okay. Exactly. That's what God is saying to us. Who in the world would build a town on a hill unless it was intentional? It's very difficult. If you talk to builders, there are a lot of unique challenges of building something on a hill that you have to think about. So when you do something like that, there is a purpose for it. You want it to be seen. The land we bought in Dedham is on a hill. We're having problems with having land and trying to build a house on a hill. But it's beautiful up there. You can see so much, of God's beauty that high up. And that's one of the reasons why we loved the piece of land. But that spoke to me that God was very intentional. If we are lights, and he's saying a town built on a hill cannot be hidden, he was very intentional about us being seen. That was part of the whole design. We're not to be hidden. And there's nowhere to hide. If you have a city that's sitting on a hill or a town that's sitting on the hill, most likely it's going to be seen from a lot of different directions and from a far distance. It's going to be very hard to hide. And so as lights in the world, as Christians, we have nowhere to hide. Everybody's watching us, whether we want them to watch us or not. It's just like the superstars of basketball. So I heard one, I don't know if y'all remember that time. I don't remember who it was. Some basketball star got into trouble and did something. And he said, I'm not a role model. Okay, thank you. I was like, well, everybody's looking at you whether you want to be a role model or not. But just like that, we as Christians and as lights, everybody's looking at us, whether we want them to look at us or not. So God was very, very intentional about us being visible. And then the second part, it makes no sense whatsoever if you have a light and then you try to hide it. Okay, it's like buying a lamp and then putting it on the bed. Why did you buy the lamp in the first place? If you were trying to light something, you never would have bought the lamp and put it on the bed. It's not doing what it was designed to do. So that's what God is saying. We are visible, we're to be visible, and we were meant to be visible. Okay, so let's go to the next line. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. What does that say to you? What comes in your head? Yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't. Should be on display. Okay, good. Okay, it fulfills a purpose that everyone can benefit from. Good. Mm-hmm. Good. It's intentional. He puts us in a place, in a position to be seen. Great. Those are all great. And that's the understanding that I got too, that, you know, if you put a particular light in the room, you want to position it where it, you know, gives the most light. Some people, you understand that people put lights in corners because it bounces, the light bounces it off the walls and it goes in a greater amount of direction where you can light more. And I was also thinking the fact that, you know, it says to light everyone in the house. I heard you guys talking about hospitality. Usually when I think about a house and people in the house, they are usually in the house because they were invited to be in the house. Most likely they're invited to be in the house. Some people walk in, yeah, sometimes you have crashers. But, you know, but think about it. If you went by a house and there was something going on and maybe lights flashing, you'd probably stop and wonder what's going on in there. But there's some kind of attraction to that house. The fact that it gives light to everyone in the house, meaning that there's something happening with me as a light and some kind of transference to everyone else in the house. And it gives light. So light is meant to be transmitted. There's something that's going to happen in terms of you being in my presence where my light is going to hit you and light you. And part of what, you know, that spoke to me is that it's got to be transmitted. It's got to be passed on. You know, if I'm giving you light, I'm giving you the knowledge of God. Some things are being revealed to you as well so that you have the hope of becoming light as well. And so there's this element of sharing. And I heard that before. It just makes no sense that it's not doing something, that you're not actually passing something on or sharing it with others. It has a purpose of doing something to others, and that's that sharing and that lighting. Yep. Mm-hmm. Definitely a replication piece of that and amplification that Sister Gail is talking about. Yep. All right, let's move on. So he goes on and says, in the same way, let your light shine before others. What comes to mind when you read that? So let your light shine. Don't be ashamed. Huh? Don't shrink back. It's not about us, it's about God. Good, good, good. Think about you.
One example, and going back to good old Ruth, you know, we have her as an example. She shined her light, and they didn't have television and all the other stuff. Everybody knew who she was. This was mm-hmm. outside the country doing the right thing. And, you know, the word got around. I mean, that's Ruth. Oh, that's Boaz knew who Ruth was before. And so she didn't have to do anything.
Right.
Her work to her, what she did was kind of spoke for her. And so. You know, and that's just the interesting thing, that that's what God's calling us to do, and it does require us to do something. And that's where Orpah, she stayed home, who was her mother-in-law, and the rest is history.
Right. People knew about her. She wasn't out there going, hi, I'm Ruth. This is what I did. This is where my heart is. This is how I loved. People were watching. And because of the uniqueness and how different her behavior was from what was expected, she was known. And if you think about things shining, it attracts. If you saw something sparkling or something was hit by light and you just see this flash of light, you're drawn to it. You want to see, what is that? If something's very shiny, it's very pretty, you know, you want to look at it. So let your light shine. You're actually going to stand out. And I know sometimes as Christians, we get this message that we're not supposed to be standing out. We're supposed to be kind of shrink in the background. Don't exalt yourself. And that's correct. When we're trying to do things to point to ourselves and not to Christ, yeah, that's a different motive than what God intended. But as light, we're to be seen. And we're going to be seen. There's something we're doing that's radiating out there, that's sending out and spreading abroad and enlightening. It's making things known. It's making God known. People are drawn to her and they wonder about it. I wonder about it. Who is that? Why do they do that? Why didn't she curse that girl out when she said that? I wonder why. Very distinct from its surroundings. You know, we talk about the stars. The reason why we can see the stars so well at night is because there's a great contrast between the light they're reflecting and the darkness that's around them. When there's not a lot of contrast, and we talked about that a little bit last week, you know, with salt losing its saltiness, you compromise a little too much and you look just like the world. There's no distinction. I can't tell you from the other person who's not a follower of Christ. So light is supposed to stand out. It's okay as long as, you know, you're pointing to God. So he goes on and says that they may see your good deeds. Okay. So we talked about you're actually doing something, good deeds. And I was talking to Michael last night, and as I was listening, I said, well, okay, two people are in the soup line and they're serving food to the homeless. What's the difference between one who's a Christian and one who's not a Christian? How can you, they're both doing good deeds. What's the difference between them?
One could be doing it out to the Lord, and the other one's doing it to be a good neighbor.
Right? So they definitely have different motives, but how do I tell the difference?
One may just pretty much put the soup in the bowl and say, here, where another could possibly just give a kind word. Give some type of encouragement. May not know what you're going through, what you're dealing with, but because they have that relationship with God, you probably put something in their heart and they accept it and they're able to deliver that to you.
Very good. There's an added, maybe a behavior, a word, or something that's different that makes that person either stand out or acknowledge the source of their good deeds. So there's an action or a testimony there where you actually reveal why you do what you do. That they may see your good deeds. And then this is the second part. This is probably the most important part. And glorify your Father in heaven. So you are doing something. We know that we're not justified by works, but the works are very, very important because that's what the people see. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there are a lot of people out there doing good deeds. But what distinguishes those from followers of Christ is knowing where the source of that light is coming from. And that's why you can't, your presence, going back to your presence is important, but it's not enough. There's an aspect of testimony where you are sharing why you do what you do and your motivations behind your actions that gives glory to God. And that's the peace that has to be present, you know, as a part of us being light. Brother Bill, you want to say something?
I was just going to say in terms of motives that there may be a difference of motives and distinction between versus a non-Christian. But the good deed is a good deed. I don't know if I can look at a person and say that he's a Christian because he did this or he's a Christian because he did that. A Christian in his mind understands that when he's doing his good deeds, it's not about gaining favor with God. I'm doing this just so that I can be righteous or seen in such a way that should never be our motives. As a Christian, that may be the motives of others.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but thank God there are good deeds.
Amen. Amen. Because good, godly things are being done. Yes. And ultimately, you know, but we want people to know why it's important to do these things. The other scripture that came to mind, I was looking for it this morning was John 12:32. It's not on your sheet. But if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. And the reason why I was thinking about that is the important thing that God is trying to show is he's the one. We do the lifting. He does the drawing. And sometimes we kind of mess up our roles a little bit where we're trying to get people to God. We're trying to make them want God, you know, and desire God the way we desire God. You know, see how good he is, and he's just an awesome God, and he just loves you. You know, you ought to love him. Yeah. But it's our purpose as light in revealing who he is and us transmitting that and allow them to see that, and that God can then begin to do the work of changing and transforming their hearts and minds to be drawn to him and to see the need for him. And so it's very important that we do the lifting. We do the cheerleading. We do the hold up the light. You know, there he is. There he is. He's seen through me. He's the light of the world. He was here for a moment, but he's no longer here. He's left us here to carry on the torch, to carry the light. So that people can see him through us. So this is exciting. And I'm going to go back to that word that Sister Polly, this is an awesome responsibility. And so I want to kind of give you a little bit of a scenario to look at and to think about what it means to be light in this scenario. This is a real life scenario that happened, and I just want you to kind of talk about it a little bit, you know, as we, you know, understand what it means for us to be light. Just because of time's sake, I was going to go through the other facts about us as light, and I'm just going to quickly go through it instead of just asking you to give me some feedback. But these are the scriptures that I pulled out. There's so much light imagery in the Bible. It's really fun. So you can actually go and have a lot of fun of finding all the ways that God used the metaphor of light in the Bible. And there's a lot there. But I thought these were particularly important. John 8:12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So just remembering that God is the one true light. He's the original. He's the source. And we've become light by following him. It's like the moon. The moon doesn't have light in and of itself. It just reflects the light of the sun. It looks like it has light, but it really, really doesn't. We are the proof. We are the proof that he's present and that he's real. But he's the original. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. 1 Peter 2:9. We are chosen and called for this purpose. When we become light, we want to declare the praises of him. When something great happens to you or good happens to you, how many of you just want to just go shrink back and climb into bed and not tell anyone? You get excited. You start calling up, Ma, Dad, your sister, your brother, your friends. Let me tell you. Let me tell you what happened. You get excited. You declare the praises of him. We want to tell folks about it, what he has done. So let's not be ashamed. For you were once darkness, but now you're a light in the Lord. Live as children of light, Ephesians 5, 8. Now that we are light, we've got to reflect that. We've got to be that. Live, that's our charge. Live. Live as children of light. And the other part of this that's really great is that it's so hopeful. We were all in darkness. There is hope for everyone to become light. But they can't do that. God, you know, it's hard if we're not transmitting it and allowing it to hit other people and revealing the Lord to them. And then here, do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. Philippians 2, 14 through 15. I just like this because it was an example of shining. And God has a lot of examples of how to shine. And then just remember the imagery of shining. You're distinct. People are drawn to what you're doing. So the doing here is that you're doing things without grumbling or arguing. You know, I tell my children all the time, I hate whiners. Whine, 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 whine. You know, that's my phrase. As soon as they come up to me going, I can't find this, and I don't have this. I'm like, whine, 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 whine. You know. That's great. That's great. I'll have to use that one. Did everyone hear that? Do you like cheese with that wine? You know, it's just annoying. It's very annoying. It's like, okay, problem solve here. Problem solve. Work with me. Work with me. You know, we're to be different. You know, oh, I can do this without complaining. Why I got to do this? Why I got to bring the water? Why didn't they ask her over there to bring the water? She never does anything. What kind of testimony is that? What kind of light are we reflecting when that's all we do? So it was just an example that I like. And another one in Isaiah 58:8, you can also kind of look at that one on your own. You know, just another example of God says, if you cease to prevent justice, if you feed the hungry and satisfy the needs of the wretched, then your light will rise like dawn out of darkness. These are the kinds of things we should be about, seeking justice, feeding the hungry, satisfying the needs of the wretched. So we don't have to wonder, what can I do to shine? He put it right there in his word. This is what you can do. You don't have anything to do? Do this. Go feed the hungry. Yeah. You know, amen. Do something. Amen. So I appreciate God in his word and letting us know and giving us this awesome responsibility. So I'm going to give you a scenario. I'm going to break you off in groups. So let's say from this side right here, let's say this little group right here, and then Ethan and James. Yeah, the chairs. Let's say this little group right here. Can you see where I'm pointing? And then this little group right here. All right. So you're going to have to kind of talk to each other. This is the scenario. You have to. No, look at Sister Eva. Just think of going to her classroom. Do I have to do this assignment, teacher? Do I have to? Right. Do you want some cheese with that wine? All right. This is a real scenario, and it was a blessing to me. The person who I'm drawing all these examples for, I should be paying him some money because I'm just using all his examples, but I love them. So you have just planted a church Oh, okay. I'm sorry. You have just planted a church in an area of the city that has been ravaged by drugs, prostitution. And one of the things as a church that you decide is that you want to address those issues on the streets. There are prostitutes outside the church, along the streets. There are drug dealers, drug addicts, all out in the open. And as a church, you start a program for drug addicts to come in and get the help they need, for prostitutes to come in and get the help they need. And you've been there for years, and nothing has changed. The drug addicts are still on the street. The drug dealers are not scared of you. The prostitutes don't care if you see them or not. They're still there. What do you think may be the issue? Here you are, the salt and the light. You've planted yourself in the community, but you're not making an impact. What do you think are some things that might be happening there? So if you can just talk about that within your group for just a few minutes. All right. I hear some good conversations going on. All right, we're going to have to come back. Please feel to continue over coffee afterwards. I can't wait to hear some of the things. I heard some good things. And as I was saying quietly, please feel free to continue the conversation over coffee outside afterwards. Okay, let's start with our group over here. Just to highlight quickly a few things that you thought may be going on and why they weren't making an impact.
The church wasn't involved in the community on a day-to-day, on a regular basis, maybe. You know, they could have been in the church, you know, the church could have been in the community, and they're there from Sunday 10 to 2, and that's it. They never went out into the community to know the people so that the people in the community would trust them, and maybe, you know, I know whoever, they come here Monday through Friday, maybe I'll wash it and see what they're doing inside that church on Sunday.
Amen. Did everyone hear that? All right, class. All right, class. This is what we do at Parkside. Everybody's supposed to close the lips when they see the peace sign. No, that's very good. She was mentioning maybe they were not involved in the community. You know, they came in and on Sunday, but they really weren't getting involved with the community to get to know the people where a level of trust was developed so that they would feel comfortable coming to the programs. Does that summarize it? Okay, good. Mm-hmm. Oh, amen. All right. I look forward to hearing more of that. About Life Church. Yes. Okay. Great. Okay. This group here.
We were pretty much speaking about it, just the fact that, you know, possibly the them getting beaten over the head with the Bible. You know, it's, you know, having that, well, you know, you're not supposed to, and it's a sin and all that stuff. And you have people that don't really take to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I mean, I know from the experience, it don't work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's to have someone tell you what you're not supposed to do. You know it's wrong. But it's like, all right, bad enough, you know, in my own way, I'm beating myself up. And then here's somebody who says, oh, I'm a Christian, but I'm going to slap you with the truth. You know, that's not, that's not acceptable, and it's not accepted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I mean, to be able to have an open conversation,
mm-hmm.
and then, again, it goes back to what Sister Sylvia's group was talking about, getting in the community, talking with people, you know, being able to say, you know, hey, I was where you were once, maybe not the same thing, but something similar, whatever it is. I guess basically letting them know that you are human. You're a Christian, but you're human. You know,
mm-hmm.
superhuman, you're not above where they are.
Mm-hmm. Great, great. This group, that's excellent.
We get a lot of discussion. One was maybe we're not reaching out adequately. Another idea was maybe we're not coming together to really think through what we're doing here. Another idea was that maybe we're not communicating with the people we're trying to reach. And in particular, maybe we're not relating to them in a way that lets them feel free about coming to us. Maybe they feel judged by the way we interact with them. And then another thought was, did we hear from God about putting this church here? More about setting up these programs. Was it God's idea or was it our idea?
Excellent, excellent. In this group?
A couple of things that came up was that we have to have a program. Programs have to probably establish that build around the people that is recognizing what the needs of the group that we're trying to address is, what the needs are. We also need to learn how to be relational and step out of the building rather than having sort of like the Field of Dreams vision where we'll build it, let them come, rather than reverse, that we would come up, we would step, out and connect and relate and find out what people need. Also be non-judgmental too, because that's what I'm going to come out of this. Love the population.
And also sometimes you're thinking about building within. You know, within us, you know, we talk about going outside and building for others, but sometimes right within here, you know, we're constantly thinking about building, even now, when I think about that part, just how you build within here.
Mm-hmm.
Build the spirit within here. You know, we're working on putting people in positions, on learning how to love God, understand what God says here. How can we delight someone else if we're not practicing, demonstrating, and modeling that right in here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and one thing I think Gianna said that I just in agree with is that meeting the people where they're at, instead of we're trying to turn that around the other way, we don't even meet them where they're at.
Wow, a really good point, and that's the problem, you know, said something about the design programs, is like, we're designing programs for the people that work actually, so does that make any sense? You don't know the population, you know what they need, so-called, but you don't know the people who need it. It's like, you know, people who have, you know, the focus groups and see what the needs of the population, like, you know, pregnant mothers, expecting mothers, you know, they'll have focus groups. Like, you know, one of the things that you see that you need as a mother, and then after they design the programs around it that are enriched by the fact that they know what the needs of the population that they're trying to target are. So it's like having those conversations with our target audience, you know, really, really important.
Mm-hmm. Thank you all. I know I've run out of time, but I put that out there because this is kind of like putting all this theory into practice and really understanding what it means to be salt and light. And all of the things that you mentioned were aspects of what was going on there. And, you know, when God says he's love, all he can do is love. Okay. But he also knows how to do it. I mean, he defined it. He's the essence of it. He knows how to do it. And sometimes in our quest to be salt and light, we are doing things, but we may not necessarily be doing it in the way in which God has designed and purposed us to do it. And what was happening in this particular example was all that you said. They figured out that the people were basically saying, you don't know who I am. You have not developed a relationship with me to know what I need. And so what he did was he scrapped the programs. And so what the ladies, they call them the ladies of the church, the ladies of the church did is they got some folding chairs and they just got and sat. So wherever they saw a girl on the corner, they put the folding chair there and just sat there. Hi, how you doing? How's your day going? What's your name? You know, I can imagine he'd say, what's your name, baby? How you doing? Where you from? Who are your folks? You know, it started off as I care about you. I want to know who you are. And you were talking about, you know, that beating the head, you know, that's what the light does. It exposes darkness. It's not pleasant. You know, you don't want to see it, but sometimes you can just stick it right in their face and there's this big glare and you're like, oh, you know, and you don't want it there anymore. You know, sometimes it can just be too much in your face where you don't actually see the benefit of what it's revealing. You just want it out of your face because it's too bright. And you can't comprehend. And so it's very, very important that element of relationship, and we talked about this with salt and light, it involves relationship. And it involves a relationship that is based on love. Because we're reflecting God and we're reflecting who he is. And that's his essence. His very essence is love. And so once they did that, they sit out there. It wasn't about, you know, you shouldn't be on this street corner. You know, what you doing? They knew what they were doing. And they knew that what they weren't supposed to be doing. But it was, you know, God loves you. You know, what made you come out here? You know, what got you here? What would be helpful to you? You know, and then once they found out, you know, if I just had someone who I could talk to, you know, you may find out some things about what they really need and you know how to meet that need. They develop that trust. You know, they really care about me. It's not just about them exalting themselves and showing they're like, look, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. I want to show you how bad you are. It's I care about you, and I really hate to see you living in this darkness, this confusion, this sin that's only going to bring about death and decay. I don't want that for you. I love you too much. And once they believed that, started disappearing off the streets, the drug addicts and the dealers went away. It changed that whole community. And so I'm glad that you begin the conversation in terms of us as Life Church as well, you know, to begin to talk about that for ourselves. Oh, my good friend, my virtual friend who doesn't know me, but I talk about him all the time, Bob Lupkin. Lupton, yeah, and his church in Atlanta. I forgot the name of his church. I should have. But he's got several books. If you Google his name, he's got a book, I think it's called Renewing the City. That's one of them. But a lot of books on urban ministry and community development. And like I said, when I heard him speak, it transformed me because it made me rethink what it means to be salt and light. Because I was trained in such a way in terms of talking about programs and how to help people. And it just made me rethink some things. And at the time, the church that I was at, we were doing the soup program. And we always wondered why none of the homeless actually ever joined the church. I mean, we've had this soup program for ages and nobody was being converted to Christ. And one of the reasons is all we did was give them food. But we didn't really sit down. Some people sat down and talked to them. But the relationships did not develop to the point where they said, I want to find out more about what's going on here. I appreciate you feeding the physical, but the relationships weren't there. And then even in some of the relationships, they were demeaning. You stink. I don't want to be around you. Those kinds of things would not necessarily communicate verbally, but would communicate it in actions, that you're not as good as I am because you don't have a home to live in. You don't have the money to take care of yourself. So how they were talked to, there was sometimes demeaning, talked down to, like they were babies. And, you know, and also some of the things that we begin to talk about as a church. And it just woke me up a little bit. And so that's our challenge to us today, you know, as individuals and as a church. How are we salt and light in the world? And then just go home again. List three ways you can let your light shine this week. Just think about this week how you can let your light shine before man so that they may glorify your Father in heaven. Amen. Thank you.
Hallelujah. You've been listening to Sunday Life, a radio and podcast program of Life Church in Boston. We hope you've enjoyed your flight. As we prepare to land, please leave the belt of truth buckled around your waist and keep your life in an upright position. If you would like to support this program, or if you simply want more information about Life Church, please visit our website at lifechurchboston.org. As you go on with your day, please remember, Jesus commanded us to go and make disciples of all nations. Please put what you've just heard into practice in your own life, then teach it to others, and watch God's kingdom take off around you.